You'll turn to Romans 1. We're going to flip around just a little bit in Romans. So I'm excited that we're in Romans for this month. It's a wonderful book. And on a few Saturdays back, on actually the 15th of the last month, our church on a Saturday watched the American Gospel. And the video showed how the gospel often developed in our country is not the gospel that's taught in God's Word. And I thought it was excellent. It's the first time I'd actually had a chance to watch it. And I thought it was really good. And I don't think Mark, I think Mark was very wise in picking Romans after we watched that this previous month. I think he's very wise in picking Romans for this month. Whether you saw the video or not, it doesn't matter. Here's what I'd like for you to do. I'd like for you to do the Romans challenge this month. As you read Romans, compare the gospel taught in Romans to the gospel that you heard growing up. Whether you grew up in the South or you didn't grow up in the South, compare what you read in Romans to what you heard. I was being discipled by Jerry on Friday mornings, and the Sunday school class that I was attending, we did Romans for our Sunday school class. We were studying the book of Romans. And I found out that the gospel presented in Romans was not exactly the gospel I heard growing up. You know, a lot of the testimonies I heard, although I'm not saying they were bad at all, but man was the focus. And often the person giving the testimony was the center of the story. So what I did is I started looking at the nouns and the verbs. And I know my wife's nervous because she's the English major in the family. I can do a noun and verb, I believe, Renee. All right. I hope so. But I started looking at the nouns and the verbs when salvation was discussed, and I found out that the vast majority of those times, those verbs referred to Christ and our Father. It did not refer to us. So what I ask you to do is you read through, think about that. Think about the gospel you've heard, and think about what you hear on television or what you heard on the radio or whatever you listen to, and compare it to what you read in Romans. So let's look at some verses together real quick, and then we'll have a prayer time. We're going to read the first 7 verses of chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ and to those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his saints. So you'll see, if you look at those, think of those verbs: called, set apart, promised, descended, declared, love, sent grace, love, and apostleship for us to receive, who brought about the obedience of faith. Every one of those verbs refers to our Lord and Savior. Every action is committed by Christ and our Father in heaven. All right, let's just turn, if you might not have to turn, but look at Romans 1:18 real quick, one verse, then we're going to flip. Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. So here's something. Do this test. Did you hear about the wrath of God when you heard about the salvation story? Were you taught that the cup that Christ talked about in Gethsemane was actually that cup of wrath? It was God's righteous, holy, and perfect response to our sin. So think about that. All right, let's flip to Romans 3 real quick. You know, when you go first, I get to do a lot of verses today. I like this. I get to go to the book first, other elders. You can come back and look at Romans 3, verses 23 through 26. So look, in verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now here's two verbs that refer to us, but it's not good news. You know, we all have sinned and we fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So just think about the emphasis and look at those verbs. And then I love how it closes. So he can be the just and the justifier. All right, Romans 5. Let's flip to Romans 5. We're going to do, then we're going to pray. Romans chapter 5, we're going to start in verse 6. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. There's wrath again. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. I love verse 6 kind of gives some bad news, but then it says, but God in verse 8. Isn't that I just love that. I love the start of that verse, but God. That's awesome. That's about his grace and his love for us. So as we go to confession today, praise God for his marvelous grace that saved a wretch like you and I. And if you're not born again, if you're not regenerated, ask God to convict your heart about this wonderful gospel as you read this. Focus on what Jesus Christ did for you so that you can have eternal salvation. Let us pray. Our dear Father, you say in your word, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And also those whom he predestined, he also called. And for those he called, he also justified. And for those whom he justified, he also glorified. What should we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus, the one who died. More than that, who was raised and who is at the right hand of God and who is indeed interceding for us. Our Father in heaven, please use the Holy Spirit to remind and convict us from the Scriptures what Christ did for us in order that we may have eternal salvation and forgiveness of our sins. Our culture wants the man to have a prominent place in the salvation process. However, your word teaches us that Christ Jesus is the cornerstone of our faith. Man is solely atoned by the actions of Christ, not by any work or any deed that he or she may do. Convict us about the grace shown to us in Christ Jesus and remind us how he consumed that cup of wrath for us on the cross for our sins. Use the gospel to transform our lives. Lord, please convict me of not sharing this good news on a daily basis to others. Thank you so much for saving me. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.